Hey, drama listeners, Dylan here with just a quick announcement about an announcement before this episode with Douglas Lyons, who his play Table 17 is now running at MCC Theater. You're going to want to grab your tickets. It's only running for about a month. I think they just extended at least once, but it's going to be a hot ticket because it's a small venue. Anyways, Connor and I have been teasing a very exciting announcement all summer long. Think of it in the greatness of Britney Spears on Good Morning America in a low vocal octave, or Lady Gaga and her eminent LG7 era. Something like that is coming, okay? And I know we've been talking about it week to week, but I can tell you now with confidence, next week, stay tuned to your feeds. If you're not subscribed, be subscribed to Drama and make sure that you're ready for this exciting announcement from Connor and I. If you want to help support us as we head into the next couple of months, please consider supporting our Patreon. It's patreon.com/thedramapodcast, where you get 2 Twin Talks a month, as well as access to our Instagram close friends, where we spill a little bit of behind the scenes tea every now and then. And you're going to want to be a part of that if you want to hear about this announcement before the rest of the world. All right, let's get on with the show and Douglas Lyons. We love you all.
Press play.
Curtain of an hour in.
It's time to take spin.
The shade and tea
to spill.
Ooh, drama.
Oh, that's a tweet.
Did they book?
Who got nom?
The option, no.
Oh, I'm not well.
What star will we talk to today?
Oh, that's a gag, honey.
Say no more. Drama.
Drama.
Welcome to Drama, a podcast that covers theater,
pop culture,
love,
and life.
I am Connor McDowell.
And I am Dylan McDowell.
Dylan, I'm doing something tonight that's different, which is I'm not looking at myself while I talk to you.
Are you hiding self-view, or are you just...
No, it's there in case I need it, but I feel like I never really look at you when we do these at the beginning, the twin talk, as we call it, the beginning, the, you know, the pre-interview chatter.
Yeah, I definitely look at you the entire time, so that's interesting. But Yeah, it's been a fun summer of travel. I mean, I feel like you've been traveling a ton, and one last trip to Ohio for you for our friend Matt's wedding.
Can you believe? I mean, his twin brother got married in June, and now he's getting married in August. Poor Joyce Septola. Just kidding. I'm sure it's fun for her, but it's going to be so fun.
I'm most excited to reunite with all of our friends. You know, it's so fun. Like after college, everyone sort of moved all over the place, but there's these big life events that bring everyone together.
I know. It's kind of like just a great excuse to see people. Because otherwise, if you're not living in the same city, we're not all together.
I know.
It's so sad. One of the sad parts of growing up.
Truly. But it makes the reuniting all the sweeter.
Oh, fun. I love that we had like, it's going to be a lot of the same crew that was at the June wedding. So it's almost like this bookend of, you know.
And the fact that they're twins, they're both getting married the same. It's so funny. They've been in our lives for over 10 years. It's going to be amazing.
What if I got married the end of the year you get married?
That won't be happening.
I thought you were being shady towards me.
No, I'm not saying that you won't find a man by then. I'm just saying.
I don't think I will.
It's my year. In 2026.
All right.
Yes. Exactly.
But anyway, Dylan, before we go to Ohio on this trip, we had to get another pod in.
Yes.
Because exciting times for us, exciting times for this guest who we've been wanting to have on forever. I feel like we may have connected when we had Natasha Yvette Williams on.
I think that's how we first started following each other on Instagram.
Pre-Chicken and Biscuits on Broadway.
Mm-hmm. Pre-C&B.
C&B. Dylan, would you do the honors of reading the intro and bringing him in?
Our guest today is the definition of a multi-hyphenate artist. As a writer, he earned a GLAAD nomination for his 2021 Broadway playwriting debut, Chicken and Biscuits, which was the second most produced play in America in the 2022-2023 season. His newest play, Table 17, runs August 14th through September 15th at MCC Theater, starring newly minted Tony Award winner Kara Young. This brilliant writer also served as a writer on Apple TV's Emmy Award-winning series, Fraggle Rock. As an actor, you'll recognize our guest from his Broadway appearances in The Book of Mormon, as an original cast member of Beautiful, the Carole King musical, and most recently in the Tony Award-winning revival of Parade. He also toured The Nation in Book of Mormon, Dreamgirls, and one of our favorites, Rent. As a composer-lyricist, his music and lyrics have been featured on Nickelodeon, BET+, Apple TV, CBS's Sunday Morning Show, and more. His musicals include Polka Dots, Bo, Breathe, The Moon and the Sea, and 5 Points. With his composing partner, Ethan Pakchar, our fabulous guest is a 2020 Jonathan Larson Grant finalist. He's also an advocate, director, and, well, everything. Please welcome to drama,
Douglas Lyons.
Oh my gosh. I wish I could have recorded that to play it back before I go to sleep. That was beautiful. Thank you.
With my sultry vocals right there, my...
Yes, sultry.
Ooh, I love it.
Douglas, are you well?
I'm very well. Yeah, I just got home from rehearsal for Table 17, and I'm elated and excited and grateful. I've been traveling a lot this summer. I just did the San Diego Symphony Concert of Rent. Miss Collins. So that was after doing the tour at 19 and revisiting it 18 years later. It was a moment.
I saw that you did that. I'm so jealous for that lucky audience. I need to look for video.
They're on my socials.
Okay. I'll cover you reprise. One of the most epic moments in musical theater.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll send you the video. Okay. I haven't posted it.
And with the symphony behind you, I mean,
yeah. I feel like I'm about to have full body chills now, but I feel like we don't talk enough about that song and Seasons of Love tying in. I mean, it really, Jonathan Larson bodied that.
Like, so much.
Yeah.
Like, I'm so sad that he passed because, like, wonder who he would be and what else he would have created for us or for himself. Like, it's just such an impactful and iconic piece.
Yeah,
oh, totally.
So nice to revisit it.
Yeah. I love that there's that full circle moment for you.
Yeah. I mean, how did you get involved in the concert you just did?
So I'm a big manifester and I did the tour. I went to the Hart School. I left after my sophomore year, toured with Rent as a swing, and then went back and graduated. And I've been like dying to do it again as an actual adult, you know, having lived a little much. And I told my managers, I was like, Rent, anywhere, like rent, let's do it. I was like up for one production that I didn't get, but then I got Parade, so it was fine. And then I saw the posting for this and they were looking for local artists, but I had coincidentally just workshopped or was about to workshop a show in San Diego. And I realized I had friends in San Diego. And so I reached out and was like, if I were to get this, you know, could I sleep on your couch? And like, sure. Didn't hear anything for like weeks. And then randomly in like May, I was headed to teach in Jersey and my manager called me. He's like, you booked Rent. And I was like, okay. So yeah, that's kind of how it happened. It was glorious. It really, really was glorious.
What was the highlight of that experience?
So what always makes me cry is the Another Day, No Day But Today part, and finale B, and also in Another Day. And it's just the, I die without you. That overlap, it gets me every single time. And then the 69 pieces, you know, behind us, that orchestration was just like hearing violins in Rent, which is something you don't hear in the 5-piece that you would in the show. It was beautiful. It really was. So
did the angel run out in that moment to join the crowd? Like, you know, was it staged in that way?
It wasn't staged because it was a 5-day rehearsal and performance bit. Yeah, I got there Sunday. We rehearsed Monday through Thursday and we were on stage in our in-ears on Wednesday. And then like we presented on Friday. So it was fast and furious, but so cool. People from all over the country came, you know, to perform it and people loved it. And like they stood and they were clapping and people were crying. And yeah, it was glorious.
I'm so happy for you. That sounds like it was an amazing night.
It was.
When you were in Rent, you know, you said 18 years ago, were you Collins full time?
I was the Benny Collins swing. So I was my first time swinging. There's many stories there. I covered Benny Collins, Paul, Mr. Jefferson. Those are the ones I went on for. And then I was a backup for Gordon and Steve as well. So I covered 6 tracks.
I'm trying to do the math. So 18 years ago, this was probably like the original Rent tour. If not, like, I don't know if it just stayed out on the road or if it relaunched or...
So there was like the union tour, then there were like 4 or 5 years of non-union. And then I was like towards the tail end of that. I actually did 3 companies because I joined in 2006 and they were releasing 13 actors. So my company was the new 13 actors. So I met 2 there and then I went back to school and they called me one weekend in like my junior year. They were like, we're down. We need someone to cover. And they were in West Palm Beach and we were rehearsing the Scottish play at the time. So I went to the dean of my program. I was like, hey, babes, I got to get on this flight and go get this coin, and I'll be back on Monday. So they like moved to rehearsal, and then I like flew to West Palm Beach and met another company, which my best friend Christine Dwyer, who's been in Elphaba on Broadway, was in that company. So yeah,
Maureen,
Maureen,
of
yeah. I
course, of
like put her
course.
name in as I was leaving mine. I knew they were recasting, so I met like 60 people doing Rent. It's crazy.
You know, sometimes it's like the this tour, like the Benny tour, or like the Mimi. Do they have like fun names for the different companies?
They did. I feel like we were the non-union tour that we went to help. That's what we were. But it was so special because like three of our company members went to Broadway. And then, you know, that company that I was in was doing all types of things, like all the three companies. So just a really special imprint on my life, and to return to it was remarkable.
Oh, it really does live on. I saw like a regional production here in Ohio a couple years ago, and I was watching it and I thought, you know, this is a period piece. And it's so funny when something's written so of the moment, it becomes a period piece a few years later, you know, like voicemail, like voice messages. Like there's just things like that that
Yeah.
you just don't see that or hear about that anymore.
And it was universal. Like the love themes are just so timeless. You know, How About Love, Seasons of Love. I saw a tweet that in 96, the original company performed at the DNC, I
Yes.
think in
Saw that
Chicago.
tweet.
Yeah.
I saw that tweet. I never knew that. How
Yeah. I
iconic.
know. I'm like, that's what theater can do. It actually can permeate other parts of the world and matter, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What Broadway show will go to Chicago next week for Kamala Harris and Tim Walz?
Oh, shoot.
What currently running, you
Joy Woods, just
That's right.
send her. Let her sing that number,
Yes.
please.
Okay. Yes.
It's so iconic. Oh my God.
Oh, beyond.
The biggest mistake, the Tony nominators, Tony voters, I mean, mistakes are made every year, but they made a huge, I mean, especially, you know, but they made a mistake not nominating the Notebook, Joy, or the music, something to give her a chance to sing that on the Tonys, because that would have been unreal.
Sick.
Like crazy. It's weird because I know some years they do invite a lot of the shows from the season to participate in some way. So it was such a bummer they couldn't figure in the biggest Broadway season we've had with all these new shows. I couldn't believe they didn't do it. Wait, not me like going on a Tony's rant months later.
Listen, ripple effect, you know?
I know. Well,
Yeah.
something good did come out of the Tonys. Carae Young finally won, and you are working with her. Now, the two of you have had a friendship for a few years, right?
Yeah, like she was in Clydes and Chicken were the same season, and
Yes.
then Cost of Living was between Parade City Center and Parade Broadway. And so we were like reaching for each other from afar. And I was like, oh, I want to work with you and would love to work with you. And then this play, you know, was the journey, was the connection.
And this
Oh
play
my
being Table
gosh.
17, which it's a romantic comedy, right?
It is.
I'm
It
gagging.
is.
I love a rom-com.
It is. But I would say it's like it's a entanglement romantic comedy.
Okay.
Yeah, it gets entangled. You know when love can get a little messy when people aren't getting what they need and they need to drink from a different faucet? I guess you'll have to come see what the faucet looks like.
Oh my gosh. Now, Table 17, does it take place at like a wedding, perhaps?
No, so it takes place at a restaurant,
Okay.
Bianca's, and on the seating chart of where they're placed, they're sat at table 17.
Gotcha. Okay. When did you start writing this play?
So in 2022 summer, I'm very vocal on the socials if you haven't noticed, and I had like made a post that was being retweeted a lot on Instagram and like reposted, and Mark Cortelle at Newark's Provincetown reached out and was like, hey, Douglas, you know, your post reminded me that I wanted to talk to you about a possible commission. You know, after seeing Chicken and Biscuits, I loved it. Would you like to talk? And I was like, oh, for sure. And I had just seen this video. So cut.com has these videos of exes that sit down at a table and like ask each other questions. You can look it up, cut.com, exes. And so there was one of this Black couple talking about their relationship and what went wrong. And I was like, this is inherently dramatic, I'm like unpacking the past. And so around that time is when Mark reached out and I was like, yeah, I like pulled up the video and like sent it to him. I was like, I'm thinking of making this into a play. And they were like, oh, great, great, let's do it. And I was like, okay, great. Right. And then I booked Parade. And so I went up to P Town in like September, August of 22, worked on like 10 pages of it, did parade, didn't know we were going to Broadway. We went to Broadway, was supposed to have a draft by the end of the year. That didn't happen because I had other things going on, but reached out and was like, I promise you I will finish it. So I started writing it during parade. I had like a 5 minute break in Act One where I would run upstairs and do a little writing. I would write during intermission. And July 1st of 23, I finished the first draft.
Okay. So a year ago, and a little over a year ago.
Yeah, it was very like lightning speed fast because we had a workshop in P Town in September of 23. The first reading with Kara and Biko was in December of 24. Then Jeffrey Richards came on board, who's the lead producer of Pearly Victorious. So we had a follow-up on the leap year day on February 29th. And then I got the call about MCC when I was in LA in like late March.
Okay. Man, your memory is incredible. You're the perfect guest because sometimes we'll ask a question and be like, oh, I don't know, I don't remember, but I'm literally gagged for your mind.
Oh, yeah.
We just had Martina Mayoko on earlier this summer, and I love talking to writers about the first moment your work is read aloud. How did that first reading, the first one, maybe the September one, we'll go with the September one of last year. How did that go of Table 17?
Well, like, so the audience is so integral to the development of a piece. So I knew we had something, right? But it's always listening to the intimacy of this piece is there are only three actors. There are five characters and three actors. One actor plays three characters. And so you're kind of trying to figure out whose story it is, like, you know, the traditional protagonist, antagonist thing. It's like that actually doesn't apply here because no one's really at fault. So, like learning to let the love of the piece wash over you, but then also listen to clarity was something that I picked up in the first read. And then when we had a reading, a public reading in P Town, it's a Black love story, though it's a universal love story. The entire audience, except for one other person, was white. And I was like, I don't know how this is gonna go. We finished and we did a talk back, and a man, a gentleman, raised his hand and he said, thank you. That got really tough there for a moment while he was like with tears in his throat. And I was like, oh, this, it brings, it uproots anyone who wants to love or has ever loved or lost a love or is in love. It makes you think about what is worth it and then what is hopeful.
Oh, wow. Sounds so good.
Yeah. It's
Wow.
cool. I won't toot it too hard, but toot, you know what I mean?
So the
Yeah.
character, okay, so we've got the couple and then the actor who plays the three other roles. Can I guess what the characters are?
Yes.
Is this fun for you or is this
Sure.
like an annoying like question?
Yes. No,
Okay,
guess.
I'm gonna guess
Yes. I want to
one of
know.
them is the server.
Yes.
Okay.
That's River.
River,
Yes.
love. We love River. I'm gonna go out there and say one of the pairs of the couple has a new relationship and their new lover comes into the story in some way.
You're wrong-ish.
Okay, maybe they're mentioned, but they're not played by the actor. Okay. So
I love that there's no spoilers here. People have to go see the show.
no spoilers, no spoilers. So we've got River the server. Maybe we have a maitre
You're wrong.
d'.
No. Well,
Oh,
actually,
damn
you're
it.
not wrong. You're not wrong. I will, the only other detail I can give away is River is queer. And
Oh,
so that is
okay.
a fun dynamic with this straight couple. And
Ooh.
And the other cool detail
Oh my
about
God.
the play is it's told via direct address and stand-up style. So as they're getting ready for the date, they're actually asking the audience, like, do I look good? Be honest with me here. So you never know when they're going to turn to you and talk to you. So it's as much your story as it is their story.
I don't know if I've ever seen a show like
I
that
love
before.
that
That is so
so
cool.
much.
Yeah.
It's interesting because, you know, Chicken and Biscuits, which we're going to obviously get into totally, and I know we're jumping a little bit here, but the way it was in the round at Circle in the Square also felt like we were involved in the story the whole time with those characters, which, by the way, that cast was just beyond. I loved that play, and I felt like I knew those people. I'm sure you hear this from everybody that they felt like they knew those characters, but I feel like you have such a great way of writing that involves the audience in a way that they're not just watching something.
Yeah, I mean,
Kudos to
I
you.
watch a lot of television, and I think what theater, where theater goes wrong, I would say, in my humble opinion, is it tries to find itself very serious and important. And it's like you're not like you get an extra gold star if you figure out what the play is about. instead of like what Rent does really well is Rent goes, I love you. How about love? How about we all do this together? And so my writing style is like, how about we laugh together? Isn't that silly? This is not that serious. Kick your shoes off. Hopefully they don't stink. You know, enjoy the play and just enjoy the, it's called a play, so we can play, you know? So my work is intentionally very inviting because I want to create community and for the theater to go to places where it can be done, you know, by locals and it still can land, that it doesn't have to be so highbrow, that it doesn't make sense. Because that's how theater found me.
How did you decide on this style then? You said it's like this direct address. Could you, like, was there some sort of an inspiration for that?
During the pandemic, I was watching a lot of stand-up specials. And also I saw, I forget his last name, but Just for Us, the one-man show that came to
Oh,
Broadway.
Alex Edelman. I loved that.
So it was remarkable that he told a whole full story of 75 minutes, just him. And I was like, so how do I, also thinking like a producer, create a piece where the audience feels a part of the story and these, you know, minimal characters can lead us all the way through the evening. And just the idea of like how when we're getting ready for something really important, you know, you might FaceTime a friend and be like, is this cute? It, you know, going to see an ex, do I, is this too much? It's like, well, why not make the audience that? You know, so they never, they're never off the hook, they're never ahead, and they're always included in the journey. So they end up rooting actually in ways for the characters when things fall apart.
Yeah, there's a buy-in. I think that's really, really special. How involved are you in casting?
Very. I think like, I don't think like just a playwright or a writer. So in Hollywood, right, as a writer, you're automatically an executive producer of your work. In theater, you're just the writer, but you actually own your work. In Hollywood, you can be a writer and they can buy you out of your, it's so, right? But in theater, I'm like, no. I have a vision board for what the set looked like. I had a vision board for some of the costumes and the feel. I'm very hands-on with the world I'm building. And obviously it's collaborative, like Jalen, the director and the producers had to have, you know, a say. But no, I'm, it is important that the spirit and the energy of these people matches the vision that I have.
Do you know if that's unique to you, or do you think that some writers and are more?
I think it ranges. Some people are like, I don't care, you know, like just make sure they're good. But you have approval as a writer, you know.
And I suppose with like a revival that, the writer sometimes isn't alive anymore or things like that.
Yeah,
So,
it goes to the estate.
That's really interesting.
The director was also the director of Chicken and Biscuits. Have you two just started this like fun Hal Prince and Stephen Sondheim type relationship of working together on shows now at this point?
Yeah, it's like a August Wilson, Lloyd Richards situation. And that like I called Jalen at page 40 because I got stuck. I don't outline plays. I kind of let the page speak to me often. Like I know where I'm trying to go, but sometimes you get lost in the woods along the way. And I called him and I was like, hey, I have this new play. Would you like to read these first 30 pages? A similar thing happened on Chicken and Biscuits. And he gave me a little bit of wisdom from his personal life. And I was like, oh, got it. Yep, I'm gonna hang up now. I got it. That helped me. Thank you so much. And I finished the play. Because the compass of the piece is when you have loved or you want to love, if it doesn't work out, does that mean it was for naught? Right? There's a quote in the play, can love be real if it ends, or is it only rich when it lasts? That's the question of the play.
Okay, I have chills again.
Those exes that you're like, you would, but did you learn something from them? Did you grow from that? Right? Is it all, you know, baby out with the bathwater? Or is it like, no, that was something that taught me something about myself. And so I can look back on it and be thankful even if it hurt.
I know. It's like when you talk to somebody about a breakup, or I've been guilty of saying this, where I'm like, what a waste of time. But then you think about it, you're like, no, I don't think it was. I don't think, you know.
And also love that keeps the heartbeat when you're gone. That love that you can't think about, or you don't think you were thinking about, but actually your heart is still thinking about. You know, that like park you walk through and then suddenly you smell their cologne again, right? What is the sense memory of the love? And does it always go away, or do we force ourselves to move on? So it's very complex. It's not just like you're wrong, you did this wrong. It's like, and sometimes that doesn't matter if you still love each other.
It sounds like maybe that writing this was a little therapeutic, Douglas.
I don't know what you're talking about. Well, I think I always discover myself in my work. So this has sort of become a fable of love, but like using the human experience as a way to walk through it. And no, I mean, I look back, my ex from 2012, who is the reason I started writing music, which then led me to playwriting.
Oh my goodness.
It's like that Carrie Fisher quote, take your broken heart, make it into art.
You know, I bump into him like all the time, and we're like cool now, but yeah, I'm like actually thankful that things were kind of rough because I have another play called Pure Glitter, and there's a quote that's like, out of shattered glass comes the most beautiful mosaic, right? So that's what this new chapter of my life has been, is like all these mosaics of what I've been through and like using that fuel to pour it back into theater.
Wow. I really admire you in that you wear so many different hats. I mean, I feel like I had to include the line in the bio about you being a multi-hyphenate because I feel like everywhere I looked for you or information about you were being referred to as that, or it was written about you. It's so impressive and admirable. At the core of it, there's a love of theater, right? And this art that you're creating. We like to kind of go back into maybe your beginnings to kind of explore what that might have been. We call it the Ring of Keys moment, taken from Fun Home. Do you feel like you had a moment where you realized that a life in the arts was one you wanted to pursue?
Yes, it was 2003/4. The national tours of Cats and the Rent tour I would join 2 years later both came through New Haven, Connecticut, my hometown, the Schubert Theater. And I saw Cats, not the Jekyll Ball, the original version. And I was like, what are they doing? They're wearing makeup, they're like pawing. I'm just very confused, but I'm like, they're singing and they're in leotards. Like, what is this? Right. It was fascinating to me. And then Rent came, and I was like, oh, this is super cool. And it made me emotional. And that was the moment where I had been, you know, singing in the shower and in church. I'm a PK, which is a preacher's kid. I'd been taking dance lessons, never ballet, but like hip hop and jazz and tap. I had never had formal acting training until college. But I was like, oh, there's a profession that includes all these things, and it's called musical theater. Hey, mom and dad, I think I want to do musical theater. And they were like, are you sure? And I was like, yes. And I got into one program, and that was all she wrote.
Aw, were your parents supportive of this passion?
They were. I do remember the day that my father put all the acceptance letters on the dining room table because my backup was secondary education mathematics, because I'm very quick with
Okay.
numbers. And he was like, okay, so where do you want to go? And I was like, the art school. He was like, okay, so where do you want to go? And I was like, he asked me three times. And I was like, I want to do that. And he's like, okay. And the first show they saw me in was Sweeney Todd. And my father was like, what is this? Like, what is
They attended the tale.
they? Yes, they did. And they were very confused.
Was
But
that at
yeah,
the art
no.
school, or did you do theater in high school and stuff as well?
I didn't. So I played a lot of sports.
Okay. Oh.
I played tennis, soccer, basketball, baseball growing up.
Wow. You could have been
And
at the Olympics right
I
now.
mean, I could be. They missed my flight. But actually, my senior year, I was playing basketball while I was about to do West Side Story. And I was late to rehearsal for West Side Story. I played Tony. I still remember my riffs. Don't worry about it. And we lost in the semifinals. And like the next day, I was in theater rehearsal.
Wow.
But I had a
Wow.
theater teacher, Kristen Granfield, is her original name. She's married now. But she came from another district and started a theater program my junior year. They did Little Shop. I was terrified. So I would go to rehearsal and watch, but I wasn't in it.
Oh, but you loved it that much that you
I
wanted,
loved it. I
yeah.
would go, she was like, you could be in it. And I was like, no. I was too scared. And then my senior year, I did West Side as Tony and
Oh, how
yeah,
glorious.
and wore too much makeup.
Too
Yeah,
much
it was great.
makeup.
Oh my God. I have pictures. I look like a drag queen. So it's great.
You remember having to kiss Maria?
Yes, funny story. Maria was my god sister. So we were like,
You didn't try to get
oh
out of it?
God. We couldn't. It was a story. And you
That's
know, in high
true.
school, people were like, oh,
Oh,
like it
yeah.
was, yeah, it's a whole thing. Whole thing.
That's hilarious.
Whole
That's
thing. And then all these
hilarious.
years you're
Yeah.
performing, you obviously, I want to talk about a couple of your Broadway credits as well, where you were performing, but you mentioned you didn't start writing music until after that breakup, but was there like a writer's soul within you? Like, were you creative writing or anything like that during that time?
I had one theater writing class in college, but it wasn't even on my radar. I taught a master class a couple of days ago, and these were high school kids from LA. And I said, if you have any additional gifts or talents, cook them, invest in them now, because you just never know where you're going to be and what your life is going to turn into. And so I started writing from heartbreak. And then I did not write book or script until 2017, 2018. And I had been writing music for 4 years by then, but I was afraid to fail. And so Chicken and Biscuits was an experiment backstage at Beautiful where I was like, oh, I had just went to a funeral because I have a big family. I was like, let's see. And I would do like 10 pages at a time, which is my process. And people were laughing. And, then we had a reading and it's like, oh, okay, maybe I can write a script. Okay. But I didn't want to fail. Yeah. But it wasn't the dream. So not the dream.
Was the dream to be a performer, like a performer?
Looking back on it, the dream was to tell stories and performing was
Ah.
accessible to start. But I think my love now is like, I just like telling stories and moving people with stories. And I can perform them, I can write them, but that connection and that community is like where I live.
Forgive me for not knowing. Maybe this is a silly question, but have you ever performed the work that you've written?
No, on
Okay.
purpose. I think I will at some point in the future, but I like to be the vessel. And also 8 shows a week is tiring. It
Oof.
is tiring. I mean, I've been blessed to be in shows that have lasted. So I did my Broadway debut was Book of Mormon. I joined the original company. I left that show, which is still there, to go to the First National. I left that and like 6 days later booked Beautiful, which ran for 6 years, and I was in that for four and a half. And then the pandemic hit, because 6 months later the pandemic hit after Beautiful. And then Parade happened. And so it just, yeah.
Yeah. Well, we've gotten to see you then. We saw you in Beautiful and we saw you in Parade, and you were fantastic in both of
Thank you.
those.
Thank
And
you. Thank
I
you.
have to say, the storytelling that you achieved with Chicken and Biscuits, I know Connor mentioned this earlier, I don't think I've ever laughed that hard in a Broadway theater. And it was the perfect remedy coming out of the lockdowns that we were in.
Yeah.
There wasn't like some deep, deep serious thing that we needed to figure out the whole time. It was
Yeah.
perfect. It was so incredible. I'm a Natasha Yvette Williams stan, and she the late entrance of her character is something I will never forget.
Yeah, it's also like allowing the audience to have their time is, I think, a key to my writing is like, no, go ahead. Yes, react. Like, be vocal. You're not at church, and black church, you're going to be vocal anyway, which is what I grew up with. You know what I mean?
As a PK.
As a PK, yes. So, yeah, that is the type of style that I like is the interactive, the vocal, the emotional, because, theater's losing audiences. And I think in part, one, the prices, but two, it's not the place where people feel free all the time to be themselves. And after being inside for so long, people kind of want to go to a place where they can laugh out loud, and they can grab a hand and have a moment and not have to be inside because that's what they did when they were home.
Right. Oh, 100%. So it's been okay. That was fall of 2021, right? So one, almost 3 years. Looking back on it now, what do you think of that experience of taking Chicken and Biscuits to Broadway?
I was a deer in headlights because we were coming out of this health crisis, and I was a Broadway playwright. Me? What? I didn't know what was happening. And so I was trying to be in the moment, but also like I remember greeting every day, being like, hi, thank you so much for hi. I felt like I worked at McDonald's or something. And I think the big thing for me that changed my mindset was the reviews were mixed to negative. And I know so much of writing for plays and musicals in New York is like, did you get a critic's pick? And I had to swallow that pill, realize we were nominated for basically nothing that season but the GLAAD Award, and persist, right? And to figure out then that it was the second most produced play in the country and has had probably 35 to 40 productions at this point around the country, that all that noise doesn't matter if you're creating something that moves people. And that actually gave me a charge to write. Now I've written three other plays since Chicken and Biscuits. And by the time this drops, it might be announced that there's a trilogy of plays for Black women. And Table 17 and Chicken and Biscuits are part of those. But
Oh my gosh.
it
Wow.
gave me the permission to move this ideal of success aside and to center this idea of impact. And that is how I move now. So I'm really grateful. Again, like relationships that have taught us things. Chicken and Biscuits taught me something about the commercial theater and that I want to write for it, but also it doesn't define what success is, because success is really how you impact the masses with the work.
Yes. I think that's a really beautiful lesson learned. And I think it's important for our listeners to hear too. You know, theater isn't just Broadway or Broadway success or Tonys. You know, it's these fun things we like to go to and see and hope people can get paid for their work in that way. But I think you're right. I mean, Chicken and Biscuits, the impact lives on. And I don't even remember the reviews being mixed to negative. I just remember that we had a great
Yeah.
time when we saw it, you know, and that the audience loved it. So again, congrats to you on that piece. And
Thank you.
I'm so thrilled for you that you, again, learned that lesson and that you have persisted. And okay, trilogy.
Yeah.
So wait, what can you say about this? What are
Well,
you?
it's fine. We'll mention, I've said it at some of the readings, but basically, after seeing the success of Chicken and Biscuits, I was like, oh, this play is centering Black women. And something we found in the rehearsals of Chicken and Biscuits was this one big deep breath. There's a line that, like, all the characters say one big deep breath now, that the grandfather character imparted down to the next generation. And so, this idea of Black women taking one big deep breath in the American theater is revolutionary because so many times where Black women are placed in roles, it is to take care of other people, it is to, you know, be burdened with racism and sexism and all this stuff. But they never get to breathe. And so, this idea of the Deep Breath trilogy is three plays that center Black women. And in each play, a Black woman takes one big deep breath. So, Chicken was family, Table 17, which is the third, is love. And Friendship, Don't Touch My Hair, was just announced. It's getting a workshop production at the IAMA Theater Company in February 25. That's Friendship.
Oh my gosh.
So, you get, this is an
Incredible.
exclusive.
I know. Well, I saw you
Hell
post it. I saw
yeah.
you post it on your Instagram story. I think it was literally today
Yeah,
that
yeah,
it's going to
yeah.
be produced. That's so exciting.
Yeah. So, and that was like a goal of mine to create these three plays for Black women, you know, that are joyful. You know, there's not harm, there's expression and love and life and breath.
That's incredible. I have to mention, I have seen one of your musicals. I saw a reading at the Lincoln Center Library of Bo. Yes, I had to film it for of my friend Shoshana, who owns Famous in New
Yes,
York.
yes, 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 yes,
She
yes,
asked
yes.
me to film, like, she was able to film like the first half, and I filmed the second half, but I was there the whole time. That was so incredible. I'll never forget how moved I was, but it was Matt Rodin, right, who played. Oh my God, there's something about like family stories that always just like, it's universal, as you mentioned that word a few times. That was incredible. And I know there's an album now. Are you doing any other musical workings now with Ethan?
So we have 5 Points, which has been in development with Paper Mill for a couple years now.
Okay.
And I've actually like stopped writing musicals for the time being because of the pipeline. So like Bo is basically waiting for a house, like everyone else, you know. We did shoot an award-winning feature film that like has we had a showing in New York, the Dances with Films, like right after the pandemic. Yeah, I've kind of paused on the musicals, to be honest. They just take a lot longer to develop and plays I can write in 2 to 3 months. Now, I am a part of a musical to be announced that I'll tell you too, but I can't tell the world yet. But as the book writer, that's a pretty major one
Oh
that'll
my
be
God.
announced in like
Oh my.
26 or something.
Oh my God. You are, oh my,
Wow.
how are you? 10 pages a day, right? That's
10 pages a day and 7 hours of sleep, some water, and some trash TV.
Well, okay, I was gonna ask, you're so busy. When do you have time to watch your beloved TV? Because I'm a TV fanatic myself. And I'm struggling to watch 1 or 2 episodes a night lately. Just my focus is all over the place. Like, how, do you watch on the train
I
or?
don't watch episodic.
Okay.
So
Okay.
I'll like watch T.S. Madison and fall asleep. Yeah.
Love,
And then her voice is just in
love,
your
love, love,
brain
love.
and her thoughts and.
And when she sings in the middle of an episode, I'll wake up and like turn the TV off. But yes. Yes.
Okay, wait. And you mentioned earlier you have a boyfriend
Yes.
who got you that lovely sign behind you.
Yes, yes, yes,
Is
yes.
he in the business?
He is doing the thing. His name's Jamie. Very sweet. And we met actually because he saw Chicken.
What was it like to work with, like, as an actor yourself, and then suddenly you're writing these pieces to work with, like, Norm Lewis, Michael Urie, these actors that you're having a hand in bringing into these pieces. What has that experience been like for you?
For sure. Michael and Norm specifically, so gracious, so trusting, and just like ready to work. Norm called me the other day when I was headed to rehearsal out of the blue, being like, "We need to talk about a project, but I'll talk to you after you open table 17." Michael was so honestly moved by his track in the show. And I just felt supported. I was a little starstruck. I was like, I can't believe this, but also we were right, coming out of the pandemic. And it felt like everybody wanted to work again, and they were so game and so spirited. And so they're still friends. I mean, Michael is a part of the reason that Pure Glitter, my other new play, was a part of the Pride plays. Because I was like, there's a role for you. And he like read it and then sent it without me knowing. And then it got selected for this thing, So
Oh my God,
yeah.
that's so
that's
incredible. Oh wow.
awesome.
Wow.
Do you have like a dream collaborator, whether it be actor, director?
Quinta Brunson, call me if you will not hear this. Call me.
We need you and Quinta.
Douglas, are you kidding? She's a Patreon subscriber of drama. Like, yeah.
Okay.
I'm kidding. Yeah, I mean, she's an absolute genius.
Your sensibilities would like that would be such a vibe.
I know. And they're doing this reboot of the like Golden Girls, the Ryan Murphy thing. I'm like, call
Oh,
me, please.
we need this.
Yeah.
Then you'd be executive producer as well.
You understand.
I'm seeing the vision.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Well, everyone has got to go and see Table 17. It's a limited run at MCC in one of the smaller theaters too. So it's gonna be an intimate experience. Ooh.
It is limited with possibilities, but you should get there right now.
And I know there's lots of fun talkbacks and
Yes.
different experiences, so people can look on the website and see. You can get even more than, taking in the play. You can
Yes.
all those fun programming that they have going. Before we say goodbye, we do love to end on a dose of drama. This is the pop culture on our minds, that thing that we just, popped into our heads. We can't stop thinking about, whether it be a rant, a rave, a recommendation. And y'all, I just saw a new play last night. I saw Jacob Wason's Other People's Dead Dads down at this play called, or this spot called Dixon Place, which I'd never been to,
Oh.
but such a cool little venue. They had this fun bar, this little alleyway you had to go down to go to the theater. It felt Sleep No More vibes, except like
No.
not immersive. But I love seeing new plays. And I think it's just so interesting that we're talking to you, Douglas, about it because it reminded me of like, yeah, there's all these great shows on Broadway, but there's so much amazing work that's new by up and coming playwrights. I think the playwright of this show is 26 or 27, and it's just so fun to see such supportive crowds. And I saw so many industry people there. It was a Monday night, but still, it was just such a fun experience. And it only runs through this week, and this episode's coming out after it ends. But just wanted to give them a shout out and encourage people to just take chances on things, even if you don't know the actors in it or the writers, et cetera. Just if it looks interesting to you, go. Who cares about
Yes.
any of the other stuff?
Yes.
Love that. Dylan, do you have a dose?
The only thing on my mind today is Kamala Harris's vice presidential nominee choice, Tim Walz, who I'm obsessed with. And I keep seeing everyone writing, "I didn't know who this man was 2 weeks ago, but I would lay my life down on the line for him today." He seems like, I know that politicians, whatever, like, is there really, having seen a lot of those political shows like West Wing and things, and Scandal, like what really goes on behind, or Veep, what really goes on behind the scenes? Is he really this genuine? I'm gonna just believe that he is, and I am so amped about this ticket, this movement. I don't mean to get too political on drama, but drama is politics, politics is drama, and I'm really excited, and I really hope that everyone takes the time to look into this, and we fight and we unite and keep the good vibes going.
Period.
That's my drama.
Okay, so this thing that Jamie and I do is we watch Lingo and Password, the game show
Yes. RuPaul, right?
with RuPaul. Yes, it sounds grandma, but it's very entertaining.
It's like Wordle, right?
Yes, I love it. 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 We watch it religiously. So, yes.
Recommend.
Yes, that's my recommend. Lingo and
Is it
Password.
on cable or is it on streaming? Like, what's the.
Peacock. Peacock.
It's the best streamer. I've officially decided. It really has it all.
Peacock and Paramount. I know one is on Peacock, but Kiki Palmer
Okay.
hosts Password, and she is hilarious.
She'd be great in one of your plays.
You listen, listen. That's
Oh
I've
my
already
God.
because my old publicist was also her publicist. So I've tried, but I'm coming for you, Kiki. I'm coming for you, girl.
There was a character in Chicken and Biscuits who was, I want to say, like a younger girl. She had like a raspy voice. I loved her so much. Kiki could do that.
Probably Anya.
Yes,
Yeah,
Kiki could
probably
do that
Anya.
role. If there was a film version, I don't know. I don't know. I'm just thinking. I'm just
Yes.
thinking.
Yes.
Kiki could do it all, but so can you, Douglas. And thank you so much for chatting with us, especially during this busy time, as we said. I really appreciate all of your insights and hearing about your experiences. I feel like the way you're able to jump between writing and performing and going and doing Rent and concert. It's, I don't even know if the word inspiration is right, but it does inspire me that you can do everything you want to do.
Thank
Just
you.
take a chance. So thank you for sharing that and for chatting with us tonight.
For sure. I think everyone should evaluate their full body and their full possibility because this industry will try to make you feel like you're only good or not good at one thing. And that's so far from the truth. This podcast is proof, right?
Yeah, there
So,
you go.
like, it is really redefining your mental to open up your possibilities.
Ooh,
Pow,
beautiful. I
pow,
love
pow,
it. And where
pow.
can everyone find you online to follow along? You said you're very vocal on social media. Where can people find the vocal?
The vocal is warm at Douglas Sings on X, Twitter, and then Chocolate Hipster on Instagram. And TikTok, I couldn't tell you. Just look me up. I barely use it. I don't really know how to use it. I'm very not Gen Z that way. I'm a millennial on TikTok,
Fair
so.
enough, fair enough. And we'll include the links to all of that and for Table 17 so everyone can get their tickets. And I know MCC has a lot of great ticketing initiatives and ways that people can get in and get some good,
Yes.
affordable tickets.
Yes, absolutely.
And while everyone's following Douglas, they need to follow us. We're at the Drama Podcast. Connor is at Connor McDowell. I'm at Dylan McDowell. Thank you again. This was really, really fun, Douglas. And Connor, I will see you next time. Drama.
Drama.